Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me as always...
Ben Vanel here. Thanks for having me, Tommy. This is a week in which little has happened, but we were having to be held back from talking about these topics that we're going to cover today before the show. All the off-air stuff was a lot of like, oh, save it. We'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to start the show with all of us introduced and ready to go. And now it's time to bring into the fold the third member of this show, the co-host with the mo-host. It's Adam Knox.
A guy trying way too hard on his first day of sports broadcasting. It's a beautiful day out there on the field. Fields are the perfect ground for sport, if you ask me.
He's clearly, his mate hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah.
We were just Someone's stretching their hands and he's like, I have no idea why. Yeah. The prompt
he's stuck
is
in
off.
Traffic, I think.
We were just
Grass
talking about
has long been the realm of the sportsman. Clay, many other types of ground.
Below that, the molten core of the earth, upon which we all stand.
I would love to see a broadcast like that that starts with, well, we were just talking about sports off air and we really had to hold ourselves back because we've got some big thoughts about this game that you're about to see live. And, oh, let me tell you, it's going to be good stuff.
We're going to talk about Death Stranding more.
Yes.
I've got a Monster Energy drink in my hand.
Yeah,
just one. I don't have a table full of five of them to drink one after another.
Yeah. Your stamina only has been boosted by 10% then or something.
I've had about a third of this can now. Mm. I've tasted it. This is the first regular Monster Energy I think I've ever drunk.
Because I saw you turn up with that and I commented that you put a post in our Facebook group, I think over the weekend, that you were having a Monster as well.
But that was a sugar-free
one.
Yeah,
so you're trying
one of the white cans.
It was just like a lemonade.
Right.
That one
was
fine.
Right.
This one is like, it's a regular green and black can. It's like a disgusting, sickly sweet syrup type of thing, like how I imagine like a poisonous frog would taste if you bit into its back half.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's toxic tasting.
Right,
it's sort of nice and colorful, like it's trying to be good, but so it can trick you
and poison
you. Like a carnivorous plant,
right?
Like
how
treacle.
Butterflies have the big dots on their wings to make it look like giant eyes.
Sure.
They lure in or scare off predators.
That's more of a visual one.
A visual taste.
Yeah.
But it's fucking gross.
Even just the logo of Monster is so off-putting.
Yeah.
The very jagged M.
Totally.
Like the, is it meant to look like claws scraped down the side of the can?
A monster has scratched it. They've got their...
So they're trying to get in or get out. Which do you think?
What's the backstory here?
It's trying to get into the can because it wants that juice.
I think the juice is a monster and it's trying to claw its way out.
No, because the claws look like they've been done from the front because you can see
the
peel back of the silver.
I guess,
but Ben's one does make more sense. If the juice
drink
the
is
juice
monster.
Is trying to get loose.
It's energy.
I drank it.
Yeah. The energy though is for a monster. It's the energy of
you. Okay.
That a monster would have.
A motocross rider, for example.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that put me off of Monster Energy for such a long time. Is that every human being fell into either hardcore motorbike rider, or bikini girl,
right?
And those were the two things because they had their Monster Energy drink riders,
yep.
Yes,
and their monster girls,
right?
And something about that, well, not something, the innate sexism
everything
in that,
about that.
Yeah. Really put me off for some reason.
Yes.
Again, not for some reason. I have to stop qualifying things like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exact thing that you just said.
But let me ask you this. If the energy drink is for the monster, how has this monster had the energy to claw through the can if it hasn't had the drink yet?
It's got a ring pull.
Okay, so it drank it and he then it caught gave it, it a
and
bit
then
of
he
a
was
claw.
Like, ah.
Yeah.
Nice. Right, like when you crush the can afterwards.
Sure, yeah.
We reviewed
a different energy drink previously on the show. Was it a V?
No idea.
I think it was an old can of V, right? That was in your fridge.
Yeah, that Adam had left here a few months previous. We also reviewed Mario cereal that's still in my cupboard.
That's right.
That's the thing. I don't hate the concept of an energy drink, but I always had a concept of Monster until its association with the video game Death Stranding.
Where it ruins the aesthetic. It looks so tacky.
It is absolutely part of the aesthetic. That tackiness, that little bit of shit in there is 100% part of it.
Well, you know how pearls are made? There's a little bit of shit in the oyster and the pearl grows from it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this whole game is a fucking pearl. It's 100,000 pearls because there's 100,000 annoying little bits of grains of sand in there.
Yes.
But I am loving this game.
Can I ask you this? Your lack of enjoyment in the Monster Energy drink itself, now that you've gone out to kind of, I assume, insert yourself into the game world a bit more by drinking this Monster Energy, do you think
I'm going to steal a fetus next.
Do you think this will affect your enjoyment of the game going forward, having to drink that can for stamina, knowing that, oh, God, what's he knocking back? It's disgusting.
It only improves it. The fact that he's swigging that shit out of his canteen, that the time rain turns into Monster, I love this game.
Really?
Genuinely, I am nearly at the end.
Wow.
I'm right at the very last bit, and I have actually turned such a corner with it where I actually love it.
Let's check in, because where were you? Well, when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, you were what, 10 hours in, I think?
Something like that.
And you were enjoying it, but you were like, you wanted to, I think you were wanting to know if there was a point where all the dumb bullshit was going to be justified in any way.
Yeah.
And if it didn't really deliver on that in the end, you felt like overall it would have been a bad experience.
Yeah. It has started to justify itself in really stupid ways, but very Kojima-y ways that I'm really enjoying for how stupid they are.
Mm-hmm.
It has started, all of the gameplay elements have come together into like a really fun and ridiculous online cooperative infrastructure / climbing poorly game.
Yeah.
That, again, is just, there's something about it that is clicking with me.
This is one of those games where even if you're loving it, you are forced to describe it in terms that make it sound bad.
I am
you
so aware.
There's no other way to talk about it other than like, yeah, and then this happens and you just, you know what I mean? Like,
you know the friend that you've got who you've had for like 20 plus years who you know is a piece of shit.
Right.
And when other people meet him and they don't get him, you're like, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. He pissed on your couch.
You
have any
friends like that, Tommy?
neither of you do in the room. I'm not that.
No, I wasn't implying you.
Right. Well,
I don't know who you're implying. I have a vague idea of who it might be.
Well, go on.
It's not me.
No, it's
I
not.
I just want to point this out.
No, I wasn't implying it was you.
Well, it sounded like it. And I
I think I know who he means. I think I know who it means.
Okay,
it's
well,
not you.
Okay. I don't care. If it's not me, then I don't care.
He's inching his way towards that category with every moment.
Yes. Don't flatter yourself, Adam. I haven't known you for 20 years.
Yeah, true. So I accept all of its flaws.
Right.
But to me, they're endearing.
Right,
if it clicks with you, all of these flaws become something that you're, or that I'm like so into how broken it is at times.
Right.
I'm broken as in like just silly. It's not so fundamentally broken that you lose progress or something like that. There's just bits of it that they've clearly had to skip over, or they haven't thought through enough, or the story is ridiculous.
Right. For example,
and that sort of thing. But it all just fits in so well that it makes this perfect sphere that is like a really weird color. And like, if you like that color, it's a perfect sphere and it feels amazing and it looks great. If you don't like the color, what a gross ball.
Right.
You know what's interesting to me, and I think we talked about this the other week, how much of this do you think is like your enjoyment of it is being driven by the fact that you know that it is like more or less one man's singular vision of an artistic product, versus if this had kind of come out of nowhere and it was just made by some like new team that you'd never heard of, and it didn't have that thing of being like, hey, this crazy auteur has made a new video game for the first time kind of out on his own. Do you think you would be responding to it as much, or do you think the fact that you know that it's just one weirdo just going for it and doing whatever he wants is kind of like what's making it endear itself to you?
I think I would like it either way.
Okay.
Honestly, because it reminds me of those, like, in like the late 2000s, there was a run of like Eastern European weird games. There was one called Boiling Point that I really liked, right, which was like kind of Deus Ex cross Just Cause cross a broken piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about that thing that is shooting for the fucking moon, but it's shooting like a bunch of shit out of its ass at the moon.
At the moon.
Right.
Yep. But if you're like, that's funny, then you love it. But if not, you're like, my drapes.
Yes.
So it,
my moon.
there's something I wish I could figure out what the thing was that would predict whether or not you would like it. Maybe it's a tolerance for boredom, or not even boredom, but tedium and repetition, or monotony, that sort of thing. Maybe that is what tips it one way or the other. Maybe it's like an acceptance for what it's presenting without judging it, but just kind of enjoy. I don't know what it is that is the deciding factor between someone who likes it and doesn't.
It's the modern inkblot test. If we can work it out, I think we'll be able to work out a lot about people. It's like we said on the episode, it's like hard to know. Yeah, I can't tell. Like, there's no way of going, yeah, if you like this, you'll like it.
Because it makes it feel harder to do your job as someone who is recommending whether games are good or not on this. But I like it. I don't know why, but everything about it is driving me to just want to keep playing it.
And so the flip side of this same coin is like, you stack up everything in this game, even the gameplay, the sort of slow pace, the setting, the ideas it's throwing out, the style, and I should like it and I don't.
Right.
It's, and I can't tell you why.
Yeah.
Like if I had to try and reach for something, it's like maybe I see how this could be a more serious or prestigious thing.
Right.
Like if it was hitting these things with a little bit more panache and a little bit more intelligent writing or something like that, this could be like a science fiction masterpiece.
Yeah, I know
and
what you mean.
And
yeah.
Instead it's like on the other side of that line where it's a little silly.
Yeah.
And like I like silly things, but maybe my desire for what is presented is like, oh, if it was a little bit this other way, I'd love it.
Sure. The silliness is a big part of what I like about
it. Right? Yeah,
the fact that like, so there's a scene, I can't describe anything from later on in it because it'll give it away. Like it is definitely something that you should find, you know, see everything for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But there is exactly that scene later on in like the 8th chapter or something.
Right.
Where it is this really good idea that is a really original sci-fi idea.
Right.
With a real heart to it. And the whole time through the scene, there's a through line of this one silly thing happening again and again.
Right.
That makes me love it heaps more.
Yeah, right.
But I could see completely how you'd be like, ah.
Yeah.
Like it's someone cracking a joke in a movie the whole time.
Right.
Who's like kind of not a part of the movie. And they're distracting from it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you're into his jokes, it works.
Yeah,
I know
what
you mean though, Ben. It is a bummer. Like every now and then I have that with games where I'm like, I wish 50% of this was just left as is. And then the rest was just, you know, completely different mechanically or story-wise or visually or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's frustrating when you feel like, it's not just like I am just 100% turned off and it's completely not for me. There's enough here that I really like for this to be frustrating,
but
not enough to really win me over and make me want to persevere with it.
Mm.
I still haven't played any more of it since we spoke about it last.
I gave it another hour, so I'm 5 hours in, and I
don't think it's enough, and it's a big ask.
That's brutal.
I know.
I don't want to play it anymore.
Yeah, and that's fair enough.
Right.
But like, and it is a part of what is off-putting about it, is
difficult to recommend, or
sure,
makes it hard to.
It's very taste ish.
Sure, yeah.
What's that word? What's the, there's definitely got to be a word that we're not thinking
subjective?
Of here. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I think taste ish is better.
Yeah.
Cuts more to the point.
Sure.
There's no mistaking what it means.
Yeah. It's a little silly though, and I reckon if it was a bit more serious, I might like it a bit more.
Mm-hmm. And you
the
might
word taste ish.
Be willing to push through.
Yes.
Sure. But I don't know. I'm at like 40-something hours now.
Fuck.
And I've loved them all at this point.
Wow.
And they've retrospectively gotten better because it starts expanding on these dumb things it's been doing.
Mm.
And I think when I finish it, I want to keep playing it.
Yeah, wow.
Divisive amongst the friends of the show as well. We were talking before the show about Greg Larson tweeting today. What did he just literally said this, Death Stranding sucks.
No, he said this Death Stranding sucks and the more you play it, the more it sucks.
Which is weird because I was in a car with him on Friday.
Yes.
During which drive he said he'd been playing it all day and he thinks he was enjoying it, but I guess he's gone off it.
The more he played it, the more it sucked.
Okay, and fair enough.
And then other friends of the show.
Ben Russell loving it.
Yes, Ben Russell loving it.
Andrew Levin's loving it.
Yep. I keep seeing Dave Callan on the PS4 playing it every
time. Oh, really?
Time
yeah,
I go on
yeah.
There.
Yep.
Kate Dennett was messaging me about not liking it.
Yes, Dennett.
That's not surprising though.
The only flaws that I think are
like objective problems.
The climbing is bad. When you get to sort of more mountainous regions and that sort of shit, it's...
you're just hoping that you hit it at the right spot and you land in the right spot.
Yeah. You can kind of see that if you were watching this in like a level editor, there'd be some edges highlighted green and some highlighted red.
Right.
And you're looking for those green ones and it's not obvious where they are. But you can kind of fuck your way around.
Mm.
Is that completely a negative though? Yes.
Yeah.
But I've been enjoying still fucking winding my way up these dumbass mountains with this silly climbing.
Because like say Breath of the Wild... The climbing mechanic in that, it can be frustrating because you run out of stamina or whatever and it's not something you're used to, but you know exactly why you're going to run out of stamina, what ledges you can jump onto and shit like that.
You can very smoothly,
That was the thing. That was my question about it from the very little I've played where I found it hard to tell. Pretty early in Breath of the Wild, you kind of work out that it still is very much a designed world. Even though it is very big and it's all meant to feel very natural and random, there is still like a great amount of design and care has gone into it. And I did wonder with Death Stranding, to me, early on in the very limited bit I've played with it, the design of the terrain did feel kind of like a little bit more random almost. Like, you know what I mean? It didn't really feel like I remember there was that thing.
I think weirdly that improves.
Okay, right. Because that was the thing. I was just like, couldn't tell which way it was going to go. Because there was that thing in where one of the directors of Breath of the Wild did a talk or something. We talked about it at the time where they talked about
the triangle.
The principle of the triangle and everything. And I was like, this doesn't really...
If you didn't
really
hear that, it's that at any point you should be able to see two interesting things.
Right.
Right? That was
and there's something in front of you that makes you want to see what's behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was, I think...
There's always like two ways to go and a blockage or something.
Yeah,
there's
like
from every vantage point. This definitely doesn't have that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering like that was the thing I could see really frustrating me if it just started to feel like, we chuck a hill there and then we put a fuck in and then there's a big thing, you know, without really thinking about like, well, how fun is this to traverse around and how satisfying is it to find a way over it?
Well, so that's the thing. You start... I think kind of gelling with it a bit more, and it's a different sort of landscape to Breath of the Wild because it's an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fun thing to explore. It's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's or like a challenge to get over. And the further and further you get and the more online stuff that starts showing up, that kind of helps with it a lot because you start seeing guidance from other players and all of that shit expands heaps more when you go further into it, and it's great.
I did like the little bit of that I saw, but also I did worry about like I saw stuff like a ladder that was just like it just put in a spot that was just clearly trying to fuck me over.
So people are being really helpful and they're putting useful shit in great places. They're putting fun and interesting stuff in weird places. It's a really good feeling being in this lonely world and seeing someone who's put something down and a bunch of other people who, you know, you can't see, but it feels like they've been passed and it feels like it's really cool. And you get little cars around and all that sort of stuff as you keep going.
That is cool because that sort of stuff, quite often that sometimes that's that sort of idea is implemented in games and it feels very like tacked on or trying to think of an example, but the thing of just like, oh, you can leave a little note here when you clear, and it's like doesn't really make it feel like, oh, I'm part of this big community that's playing and we're all kind of cheering each other on. It's just like, oh, yeah, okay. This online is popular and you just felt like you had to have stick it in there.
This totally does, and it's so justifiable of a design decision based on the themes that are in this, and like it really adds to the feeling of the whole vibe that it's trying to go for. It really, really adds to it, and it's very fun. And I don't normally like that sort of stuff in games. And it's really, I think, well implemented.
Because it's in all the Souls games, right? Or most of them?
A version of that sort of thing. Where
not for the same... Well, actually, for similar purposes, right? There's hints, there's things, there's little jokes sometimes.
Right, you'll get just little notes on the ground. They're, like, they can't give you stuff.
No, that's...
But you'll just get little bits of writing on the ground that'll just say sort of...
Run past
things.
This guy, like stuff like that.
And yeah, this is a bit more involved where like you're kind of cooperating to build these roads and doing all this shit that feels really good and is well designed in the way that there's never too much of it or too little of it. And when you go into new places, you do still have to work for yourself because they're all off the grid. So
right. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
The only thing that gets annoying about them is that you don't really get much more stuff in the way of like traversal tools. Mm-hmm. You get like the ladder and the climbing ropes and it kind of stays at that throughout.
Yeah.
In terms of like going to a new place and using tools to get around, you kind of get that stuff and that's about it.
Right.
Right.
Which is a bit of a shame. But
does it get more difficult to climb around though? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
There are bits, but it's still possible and it's meant to be harder and you can still, the ladder and the climbing rope are kind of all you need still.
Right.
And like at some point I'd just be like, why can't I get a jetpack and fly? Right. Like all I'm really asking for is lots more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you do get other stuff other than that. You get like exoskeletons you can put on and shit like that to help with your balance.
And then you get like trucks and shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of really cool shit and then the combat gets better.
Right.
The stealth bits get better. It's a strange, like, inverted pyramid of a game where it gets, you know, in most games, and it's to their detriment, you'll get good enough at it that by the end you're ready to be done because it's like, I can do all this shit.
Yeah.
I've seen all of what it can do. Throw it all at me one more time and then let's finish.
Yeah.
Right.
This is kind of the other way around where it just keeps expanding and expanding and I want to fuck around with all this stuff. And when I'm done with like the story part of it, I want to go and just build all these roads and go to all these towns and fuck with the systems in it.
Yeah, right.
And I love it. It looks great. The story is shit. The writing is so bad. But in such a self-confident way that it's still fun.
Right, yeah.
Like it's... not meant to be taken seriously. And I think the fact that the art design is so genuinely good, there is sort of a weird disconnect there where it looks like this really high budget.
Well, it looks like a pre-video on demand sci-fi movie that maybe had a great art director and the script is just... fucking awful, and it's actors like Gary Sinise and stuff in there, and they're all having to say these dumbass lines, and that's how it feels to me, or it looks to me at this stage.
But then imagine that movie is 40 hours long, and by the time you get to that point, the dumbass lines have kept going with such straight faces that you realize, oh, maybe they mean this,
right?
Maybe
right.
This is.
Do they know deliberate. Or not?
Yeah, and if they know, they're a genius.
And thing with the dialogue. I wonder, and I don't know, whether it's a translation issue. In this day and age, maybe it's not that easy to have one still because most games seem to be translated well.
Yeah.
But it's been written in Japanese and been translated over to English. I wonder how much of an effect that has had on some of the stilted writing.
Yeah, it's maybe. It's hard to know because he's gotten English-speaking actors to do it.
But actors don't go, hey, this sounds weird.
No, I know, but I'm saying like he, like in writing it, you wonder if he would have written it in Japanese and gotten it translated or whether he's working more closely with someone who's bilingual to get it, to really get it first time because it's going to have to go, you can't give a dodgy translation to actors if they're, you know.
I mean, you can. I think they have. I reckon I reckon that's part of what's happened here with at least some of it.
Yeah, okay.
Like, not all of it, but some of it just rings as that to me.
Yeah, right.
You know what
okay.
I mean? And I know Hideo Kojima doesn't speak English perfectly. He has like a limited
okay.
English speaking
vocabulary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting to me because these, like, the actors that are in this are so built into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's written it and then they've gone, okay, well, we but have actors to cast are it tools. Now. Like he's, yeah, for
actors
sure.
Actors don't have any say.
Also,
or
it's just their likenesses that are in the game and then they just sort of are reading VO in a booth somewhere.
I think like I Norman Reedus and shit are performing. They've got like squares right. that they all interact on.
Yeah, right.
Like they are still doing capture
right.
of most
okay.
of them.
Right.
There's a couple who it's like, I think it's Guillermo del Toro's likeness, but it's a different actor doing
yeah,
his
right.
capture.
Right.
But it, a lot of it is them moving around and acting.
Because I know there's some that are other ones as well where it's like they showed you an actor and a voice actor in the credits for the
yeah.
as they popped up.
There's some who are the likeness, but they're doing motion capture for
yeah,
sure
okay.
and like interacting on a set. Like that's what happened with like the Naughty Dog games and stuff like that. That's
yeah.
been standard practice for a while for like God of War was that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of games do that now. And I don't know. It's just not bothering me either. Like, the writing is stupid. But maybe I'm used to it.
Yeah.
Because I've played a bunch of his games before.
Right.
Or, I don't know, it's no worse than most video game writing.
Yeah.
And
it's just what he's decided to write about.
Sure.
Which is where the taste factor comes into it.
I guess so, yeah. And well, and like it is some of it kind of stilted, I guess, but only in a normal way and in less of a grating way than the like, I got this kind of like shitty.
Oh, it's a different way.
Yeah.
Certainly
yeah.
different. Different, whole different paradigm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, in my limited bit of playing it, I find it more interesting than the what you're talking about, like the watered down generic, like I got the, you know, I'd
yeah,
rather
yeah.
something just be bad in a stupid going for it way
yeah.
than bad in a completely unoriginal, just carbon cookie cutter
yeah.
kind of way.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's just quirky more than like being directly bad. I think it's just not trying to be objectively good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not striving for like a general appeal.
Yeah, and it's
yeah.
not using the tricks that things use
sure.
to make their writing in quotes better.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a thing where people kind of are constantly going, Kojima, he should just make a film. You know, they have so many cinematics in his games and it's like, God, I would love to see how that would be received.
Yeah.
Because it is just a whole different... Like
I enormously don't want him to do it.
Yeah, these cinematics isolated and held up to the standard of a great sci-fi film. Because, yeah, I mean, you're not going to have someone like you who's like, yeah, it's done, but I can forgive it because it's in a video game, saying that about going into the cinema.
Maybe.
Or maybe you would, who knows?
I also reckon people would be totally happy with it if it was condensed into 2 hours. I reckon people are way harsher on his writing and shit than on a lot of others. And then they need to be on his, like, partly because he is visibly sniffing his farts this whole time.
Yeah,
right.
And so I think people go like, well, your farts still stink. But like...
Some people like the smell.
Yeah.
yeah, I think it's just him. Like, it's the way he makes games. Even the terrain stuff. So like, it reminds me of Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
It's not like the terrain doesn't exist or isn't designed for the same purpose, but it feels the same.
Yeah.
And it didn't gel with me in The Phantom Pain. Like,
right.
I didn't like moving around that world.
Right, I really did.
And it, like,
I
it
thought
looked
that was,
great.
Like, the best thing about that game. Was
the mechanics, the stealth was fun, but it's like, going around that world, I was like, I hate this.
Right.
The way the horse moved and shit, I was like, and it's just, it's the same style. Or it's along the same sort of path.
When you get into a car, he does it really weirdly quickly,
right,
in the same way that they did it in 5,
where
it was just like, and like getting in really fast into this car.
It's just this,
which for some reason I love.
Right. Yeah. It's just, well, this is a style.
Yeah.
This is not a good or a bad. This is just a style.
It's the same as I don't really end up liking sort of like atmospheric films and stuff like that.
Right.
Because if it gives me a 6 second long shot of someone standing at the silhouette, I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I'd move past it if it was a picture on a phone. Move on. Do you know what I mean? Like, but there's nothing innately wrong with that. Some people go like, whoa, that shot of the silhouette, it was so long. And for some reason, I like that.
Yeah. you were telling us the other day that you started Pokemon.
I know I was going to start Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
I never
should rephrase. You asked me and Ben which one we picked to start with, yes. And then you went, oh, okay, I'll go the third one then.
Yeah, but
like,
I never...
why that's important, I don't know.
Well, so that we've all got a different one and we all have a different experience.
It did. It worked out that we had, Tommy and I had chosen different ones.
Because you guys went Monkey and Leaf and I went Tadpole. Well, I'm going to go Tadpole
right.
when I get around to it, but I couldn't because of some real life stuff. But the... Yeah, I'll get there at some point.
Yep.
Sounds like, though, if I know what I'm in for.
I think that's yes.
Yeah.
Everyone who's been talking about it, all of our patrons and stuff, are like, either I've finished it already and I'm playing it again and I just want to get all the shiny Pokemon and all that stuff.
Mm.
And like a lot of them are saying that and being like, there's a lot of flaws with this game and it's exactly the same as all the others. Some people are annoyed about that. Some people aren't.
Yeah. I'm not minding it. I had a little run where I was like quite enjoying the kind of calming thing of just, you know, picking it up for a little bit at night and putting a little time in. But I'm finding it hard to care.
Yeah.
I really am finding it hard to care. And again, like I kind of thought I was primed for this because I haven't played a Pokemon game in quite a while other than dipping in on Let's Go Pikachu
and
last
Sun and
year.
Moon as well, which was like
I played the tiniest bit of them,
right.
But yeah. I really was like ready to invest in this. And even for someone who would, you know, wouldn't consider themselves to be like drained on it and put in like hours and hours to this franchise over the last 10 years, the fact that there's new Pokemon, great, they look cool, but to me, it just kind of starts to feel like your list of moves within them is just kind of like largely, you know, there doesn't seem like a great deal of variation. And that's kind of what's bothering me is like, even I'm like 5 hours in, it's kind of hard to care about finding a new one because it's like, well, I'll get this one so that it's checked off the Pokedex, but it's not going to make a run at my team.
Right.
It's not like, I don't feel that like I'm really needing to think too much about the strategy of like, oh, wow, this one does wildly different moves and stuff. And especially because like I talked about the other week when we were reviewing it, that the animations are all kind of the same as what they've been. They're that very kind of stilted, simplistic thing. You're just not, you know, it's like bite, tackle. Like you're not really seeing any like wild, oh, this does this crazy new different effect. And this is like a completely different visual look for an attack or whatever, you know?
Same as the others where if you had a rock and a paper and a scissors all in the same team, then you're fine.
Yeah.
And
then
three other ones.
I am liking it a lot. I've put in 10 hours. Mm-hmm. I am treating it as just the relaxing sort of comfort food game that I'm playing every evening.
Yep.
But I agree with all of those criticisms.
Yeah.
Like I like that it's... You're like walking out into giant stadiums and it's properly, you know, it's 3D and it feels like, oh, this is like the cartoon that I watched made real. I'm playing this character and it's like, fucking imagine being in a 100,000 seat stadium doing Pokemon battles. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That does sound cool, the music where it's like, where they go like, hey, oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, that stuff is cool. Yeah. I did my first gym challenge before and like, again, because it's been a long time since I've done a proper one. Like the gyms being in like... big sporting arenas is cool. And you know what? It's
a lot of grass on this field this morning. Pokemon ready to fight on grass. One of the greatest sporting Pokemon battle pieces of turf ever.
As much as it's easy, and we have kind of been pretty like, I don't know, skeptical of like the big change of this one being, oh, the Pokemon can get big in battle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I did that in one and it was like, that's cool. That's
I don't
cool
like
effect.
That. It's honestly the only thing that I actually don't like in terms of...
Keep them small.
But it's frustrating. It just adds that extra level of like, oh, well, he's going to make his big one big and I got to make my big one big now. And then it's like, okay, well, sometimes they get a bit faster and they get in before your turn and it's just... I don't know. It's just annoying. It's not necessary.
It doesn't really add all that much. It's just like, the attacks do a little bit more damage.
Yeah.
But it's like, you see that your opponent's done it, so then you do it.
You do it straight away.
So you're both on even terrain.
Yeah.
And then both of your attacks just do a bit more damage. And that's kind of it. It's kind of a cool... you know, the fact that you're in a stadium and then the giant... like, that's kind of cool, but it's... I mean, it all kicking off looks... visually interesting at
least.
It's
like doing a summon or something in another RPG.
Yeah.
But I'm not having any like problems with it apart from that. Like it's kind of easy, but it is starting to ramp up. I've done like three gyms so far. I like the interface. I don't mind the Pokemon being different to the ones that I like, because I went into it with a like, okay, I'm literally gonna catch them all. Mm. Yeah. I'm gonna do that. All right, every one I see that I haven't got, I'm gonna catch it.
Yeah,
and so I'm doing that, and it's a fun little scratching that itch of collecting shit, and I'm enjoying that aspect.
I am more
wait
invested
until that itch never goes away because you cannot collect them all.
Yeah,
it's I've been. That's the bit I've been enjoying most, and the being able to see them in the wild and doing the thing where you weaken them, you throw the Pokeball, doesn't work,
yeah.
They break out,
oh, yeah.
And so you're like, all right, I'll weaken them up a bit more, and then you go too hard, and then they die, and you're like, nah, fuck that, you know, just that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm enjoying that aspect of it. All the rest of it, like the progressing through and the gym stuff, I'm like, you know, I know that's what you got to do to get to the new areas, but I'm not really fussed on that side of it.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like the story or any of the characters really. Mm. I like how much you can customize your own character.
Yeah,
That's really cool. And I do like how it's just a very traditional role-playing game structure of like you go into this area and there's these different things and you got to there's a guy here and he won't let you go through that door until you do that. Like it's very very basic. Like we talked about, I guess it was last week. It's a game that can be for kids.
Yeah,
and so it's like a kid's version of a crazy JRPG story. And for maybe the time of year it is, for how, you know, how many other shit I've played this year.
Yeah.
It's a nice, easy sort of experience.
Yeah. There was a big Nintendo Switch set up in Melbourne Central underneath the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Christmas, buy your kids a Switch thing.
Yes.
And their lineup, when you put it all in the one place, it looks really good for like a, you've got the Pokemon thing, you got Ring Fit, you got Luigi's Mansion.
Yep.
Those are the ones I noticed. But you got a thing for a kid, another thing for a kid, and you got something for daddy.
Sure.
the little, and like, oh, and I can do the exercise on it if we get it for Tony.
Which I will.
Our child, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Oh, what the fuck do you want, ma?
I've been playing Ring Fit Adventure still, like every day. It is genuinely good. Checking back in after, a month or something?
I think so, yeah. Something like that.
It's good. It's for a fitness thing, it's good. The game thing is good. Talk about a progression of skills that you gradually build and it leads to something coming together and being useful.
Yeah.
It's doing that as well.
That's good.
It's cool. Like, it's good for, like, stretching and stuff if you got a sore neck or whatever. It's a good thing to do every day.
It's a good workout. I had it on the highest setting when I first got it.
Yeah.
And it was fucking brutal.
Yeah. I've actually got to pump it up a bit.
Yeah,
I've only been going up like 1 point a day. I'm in like the 20s somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to bump it up and get shredded for summer.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's great that you can get rid of whatever goodwill when like someone sees you at the beach and they're like, wow, that guy's got a good body. And they come over and they're like, how'd you get that? Like, Nintendo Switch,
from gaming.
Playing video games.
Fuck off, you're a slut. Fuck off. I'm a gamer. Fuck off.
Yeah, I've got a long flight coming up in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think probably Pokemon.
Bust out the Ring Fit on that.
In
the aisle. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. I'm allowed to like walk up and down the stairs, right? To just get. You are on those jumbo jets. You're allowed to walk up and down the stairs.
Damn.
To move your legs. That's what I was doing last time.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
You get to go up. Guess what you do then?
Stay up there?
No.
Go further up.
Yeah.
Up into the sky.
Yeah. Climb on top of the plane.
Pop your head out the top.
Walking around there like Charlie Chaplin. Did he do that? Someone did.
Buster Keaton?
Maybe.
Mm.
I think I'll start probably getting into this more. Like, I think it'll be a good flight game.
Pokemon,
yeah. Yes. And I do think, like, for what it's doing, I think it looks great.
Yeah, yes, it does. I am impressed with that.
Yeah.
It looks very nice and cutely designed.
Something about just the bits that they were showing off in that first bit made it look kind of, I don't know, something about it, but it's...
I don't love the wild area. Like, I don't think it's good or bad. You know, like, they introduced it. I think it'd be fine without it if they just had more of the normal linear areas.
Again, it's just, it's not as much of a great...
innovation.
It's not as much of an innovation as they think it is.
Yeah,
that and
yes.
The Dynamaxing where they're like, these are the changes. And it's like, they really don't shake things. They may as well not be there.
I wonder if they really think that it is an innovation, though. If they're just like...
They talk about it in the game as if it's like, wow, we get to go to the wild area. You can do this and this and this. It's like, come on, kid.
Yeah,
it's just a small park.
Because also when you're walking around the paths and stuff,
mm.
the fact that you can't move the camera, it doesn't bother me because the camera kind of automatically...
Yeah, yeah.
kind of being fixed and snaking around, and then you realizing that they've like deliberately wanted it to kind of move around there with you. It's like it ends up being a pretty cool effect. Like,
totally,
I actually
yeah.
am not mad at that. And so like then being in the wild area and being able to like swing it around, it's like this kind of that makes that those bits kind of feel a bit cheap.
Yes.
And empty, where the rest of it feels like quite controlled and neatly sort of...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like all kind
tailored
of...
Tailored yeah, and designed, tailored. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Pokemon, didn't you say they were suing people?
Yeah, the Pokemon Company...
Yeah.
...are suing or trying to sue the sort of like...
the leakers?
Yeah, what is it? John and Jane Does. Who leaked information about the game before it came out.
How?
Well, they're trying to find out who they are.
How?
And then
do you
sue
do that,
them.
Though?
Oh, what are they suing them for?
Oh, I guess so. But also, like, how do you find someone who just posted shit on an internet forum?
Okay, well, let's see if there's
I
any
I mean, I'm not a cyber detective, so maybe...
What I like about this is that it happened, you know, obviously, what, in the weeks leading up to the release. Mm. And they said, like, they clearly just... They've said nothing about it at the time. Clearly just going... Let us just get the fucking game. Yeah. And they're like, now they're like, all right, now it's out. It's time to come down like a ton of bricks.
They just like put it inside of like a shipping container, the final copy of the game, sealed it up in a box, put it into a post office thing, and then cocked a gun, turned around and walked out looking for these people immediately.
Okay, so defendants allegedly posted stolen trade secrets from the strategy guide. And then blah, blah, blah was released a week before, or sorry, a week after the game was released, the strategy guide was.
Right.
The Pokemon detailed some of its security measures it uses to keep its information safe generally. So employees have undergone background checks. All the files are stored on secure computers. They're restricted access. There's like marks and traces put onto files. So anyone who has access to that or the game,
Adam's
they
broken
know.
Out into a sweat. Are you noticing that, Ben? He looks really concerned.
And you
all
did
of a
contract
sudden.
For the Pokemon Company. Doing design
well,
on the strategy
technically,
guide.
Technically, I worked for Game Freak, so actually, it's not really a. Oh, I was just thinking that are they trade secrets?
There's a photo is of a 6'2" man leaving the premises drinking a can of. Well, it's a can of V, so
exactly.
That doesn't
it couldn't
you
have
out.
Been a Monster Energy drink.
That's great. Police lineup, and it's just a lineup of different energy drinks, and they're like, pick one, suspect number one, and you just start. Just crushing a Red Bull, and they're like, "All right, you're free to go."
is an entertainment product like components of an entertainment piece of art? Can that be considered a trade secret?
Yeah, intellectual property. If you sign a contract when you work there, and it says if you reveal any information. Then you pay us money.
But
you've signed a contract.
Generally, NDAs don't have that, though.
No.
NDAs are usually just like, hey, this is a promise not to do it. And if you break it, nothing actually happens, but they maybe just remember that for next time.
Yeah, I mean, we've had to do that every now and then with this show for review embargoes.
There has never been a dollar symbol on any of those.
No.
But I mean, if this was weeks in advance and it was...
But this sounds...
Being given the full copy, they would just build that into the contract.
The way they're talking about it sounds like it's subterfuge or something. So you know what I mean? Like
this is what it says.
Espionage.
The Pokemon Company is seeking compensatory damages for the leaker's wrongful conduct, as well as monetary relief, punitive and exemplary damages, and injunctive relief. So they're arguing that them giving out these trade secrets or leaking this information or whatever impacted sales.
Which is maybe true, because what they leaked is that this game had bad things that they hadn't told the public.
Sure.
So if they're willing to go in there into this fucking, you know, where does that happen? A court?
Yeah.
A food
civil court.
You walk in there and you're like, dear Mr. Burger King, I was planning on lying about the quality of this game.
Or at least restricting the information.
They flat
omission.
Out lied about some of the elements.
Did they really?
Yeah, they lied about the fact that they weren't reused 3DS models.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And the reasons for not putting that shit in there, there was some flat out lies about it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So if they want to go in and say, hey, we were trying to hide how bad this game was compared to how people thought it was,
right.
we deserve money, then go the fuck ahead.
Well, the thing is, they did get their asses really fucked by this leak. Like, they got so much bad press in the lead-up.
Monetarily, it doesn't sound like it,
though. That being said, it's like, I think it's the fastest-selling Switch game ever. So,
it's
kind of hard to... Like, it did... There was so much negative press in the lead-up. Has it affected people buying the game? I don't think so.
No.
Sure, yeah. If you were... you wouldn't have been swayed by that. You either were going to buy it and have, or weren't going to buy it anyway.
I think I wonder there's like if a small section of the crotchety, like the very, very irate people who were really teeing off and review bombing them and all this kind of stuff in the lead up. Maybe they steered clear, but, you know, they would have bought the game and gotten the shits up and, you know, they would have had their issues with it when they got their hands on it eventually anyway.
That's maybe true. This is more one of those things where they kind of have to do this to prevent future things from happening, where if they don't chase this, then in the future they can cite the fact that they didn't chase this up.
I mean, you've got to set a precedent.
If I'm the Pokemon company, like regardless of this impacted sales, their employees leaked information. They want to find out who did it and they want to fire them. Because that, regardless of...
But if they're trying to sue them, that's fucking crazy. But an investigation, sure.
I think you can only like... Well, I would assume part of launching a civil suit is being like, this is why we're investigating you. We're not doing it to like bully you or harass you as an employee. This is why.
I mean, I just think... I can kind of understand wanting to set a precedent and come down hard. It's like you work really hard on a piece of art. You put years into it and then to have it... to have the rug pulled out from under you and get all this negative press. And yeah, what you're saying, Adam, is completely valid, but still, like, I totally can understand the thing of being like, yeah, well, you know, maybe it is, maybe taking people to court is like extreme and over the top, but if you want to make sure that that doesn't happen again, then that's just kind of what you've got to do.
Sure. Yeah. I just think it's kind of a bad look on top of a bad look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just good having this come out and having people react negatively and then go, oh, you don't like it? Well, we're suing you. How about that?
Now that it's out and most people do like it, it's reviewed well, it's sold fantastically. Mm. It's kind of like, does it matter? Not really.
I think it matters if, in the sense of like, if you were running a company and someone leaked information about a product you're working on, you would want to know who leaked the information.
If either of you leaked this episode... in the 24 hours between us recording it and uploading it, I would fucking flip my lid at you. I swear to God. Yeah. Wow. I would come down hard.
Well, it was Adam.
There's no way of proving that.
That would be funny. Just wake up tomorrow morning and it's already online. Yes. What the hell is this?
only half of what people thought was going to be in there is
online.
Right,
yes. Right.
The other thing... Well, so some of the Alex... stuff, the Half-Life Alyx stuff last week, that was kind of a leak. And Valve's been like, whatever. Yeah. And they've had bad fucking leaks in the past. Remember when Half-Life 2 was coming out, the source code for it got properly stolen? Like a hacker got in and it delayed it by like a year.
Oof.
And they took him down. He's in jail.
Yeah, right.
He properly stole all of their shit, though. He hacked his way in there.
It definitely feels like that sort of stuff used to happen a lot more than it does now. Like this Pokemon stuff being out weeks in advance was like a real throwback to like, I remember you would hear, regularly, almost every game.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it was just like, hey, this random Walmart in Canada just fucked it and put it on the shelves a week early.
Yep.
You know.
Just really quickly to dip back into another thing we talked about last week. The trailer for Half-Life Alyx was out.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't out when we were recording last week.
No, it wasn't.
Now it is. I think it looks dope.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah.
It weirdly, I mean, it does look like a VR game. You have like the floating hands and shit.
Yeah.
But it looks... better than a VR.
It looks solid. It looks like one of those cases where you go, they've done it.
Yes.
I wonder if that fidelity is because it's running on their like $1,500 Australian dollar fucking VR hardware that they've got.
Yes.
Or maybe it's just clever. Like there's smart things where she's got little gravity guns on her hands just to draw ammo and shit into you to solve part of a movement problem.
Yeah.
The way that she fucking moved some shit off a shelf to reach for some bullets behind it looked awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
All the enemies and stuff are real Half-Life-y and nice looking.
Although, how will this look on entry-level VR headsets?
That's a big thing. Like, if this is a full-fledged Half-Life game, which it looks like it is, and a really clever, good implementation of something new-ish still, VR... sick, what do you need to play? Because at the very minimum, you need... I think the cheapest way you could feasibly do it from what they've announced now is with one of those Oculus Quests, the Link cable thing, and a pretty fucking good computer.
Yeah, right.
So you're talking still like $2,000 Australian, roughly.
Yeah.
That is off-putting about it.
Right, but if they wanted to make a VR game, they should make it... for the best possible platform that can support one.
Especially
because then they can make the best possible game.
And when they're trying to sell hardware that they purport to be the best, it makes sense.
Totally.
Some exciting shit got said after the trailer was out, which watch the trailer if you don't. I think there's some nice seeming little comedic bits in there.
Yeah, yes.
It looks super Half-Life 2-ish.
It does.
And Half-Life-y, which I really like. And there were
interviews. It feels portally as well because of that humor, I think.
Yeah. Well, Half-Life had a bit of that in it originally as well. So, the Portal is in the same world as Half-Life is.
Yeah.
Which was always going to be the thing with 3, is that maybe you would get the Portal gun
right
in that as well. Anyway, there were some interview quotes going around with some of the people making it who were saying, like, we're pretty into Half-Life again, having made this. Like, we've enjoyed this thing. We'll see how this one goes. March 2020 is the release date. Mm-hmm. I think the 20th of March 2020.
Fuck yeah.
But they
seem... I hope I get a Index VR headset for my birthday.
When is your birthday?
It's the 12th of March.
Ah, I'm not getting you one, so...
Well, that's the only hope I had. Maybe I'll make one of those Amazon wish lists like porn stars.
Oh, yes.
And it just has that on
all
it.
All dildos. You end up fashioning yourself little...
No, I want the thing.
Oh, God.
It looks cool. It looks just like a pretty regular video game, though.
God, right. That is a brave quote for them to put out. Like, we're back into Half-Life. It's like, if they don't, they must have something cooking. Because, put that out and then not make something, it's like people would go berserk.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the common thing that people are saying that I kind of agree with is, like, diffuse all the jokes and the hype and all the bullshit with a sort of Half-Life 3, but that's not.
Right.
And then afterwards, once people have remembered that it exists and new people have found out about it, then you come out with the and here we go.
Right.
Yeah, it's also a little taster.
You can decide whether to design it as a VR exclusive game or not based on how well this sells and how much it drives sales for stuff in your opinion. They have all that data because it's for sale through Steam.
Right.
They know exactly how people are playing it and how much they've bought. So if they think this has been a driver to sell VR, then of course Half-Life 3 will be on VR. If they think people have been turned off by it, then they'll go, maybe Half-Life 3 is just a regular game.
Yeah, and maybe with some VR element, maybe little...
Maybe there's a mode or something, but it's not compulsory. So yeah, I've got to start thinking about
how checking to in.
Fucking get another VR.
Having to get an... having multiple consoles, fine. It's 2019. If your income supports it, I think most people are kind of across that.
Mm. Sure.
Getting multiple helmets is a bridge too far for me. I can't see myself ever not wanting to just fucking, jump off a bridge at the thought of spending that many hundreds of dollars on two different VR headsets.
Because I've had people be at my house.
We can sell our original ones, Tommy.
Nah, PlayStation VR is great.
Yeah, it is great.
If this was going to come to PlayStation VR, perfect world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found this. I'd just been digging through my phone. So one of our listeners, Adam, asked his...
That's me.
That's one of the hosts. That's not a listener.
I'm listening to it.
Adam asked his coworker.
Yeah.
Tommy or Ben?
to ask her... 15-year-old gamer son about Half-Life 3. You're right, he said. It's aged out.
What? So one of our listeners... I got confused because...
One of our listeners asked their co-worker's son...
Right.
...who's 15...
Right.
What do you reckon about Half-Life? They said they showed a screenshot of the text. Would you be excited if Valve released Half-Life 3? And the kid responded, not sure what that is.
Damn.
So,
wait, who sent the text? The mum or the co-worker friend?
Probably the mum.
Probably the mum.
Just texting her co-worker's 15-year-old son about video games. Hey, boys, had a cool interaction with a child. Thought you might want to know about
Would you be excited about Half-Life 3? How excited? Show me.
Get that 15-year-old kid into this podcast right up his
alley. A second VR headset is fucked. Because having people at my house go like, what's that?
Having
to go like, oh, that's a VR thing. And then go like, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got VR? Do you? Yeah. Oh, jack into the... And if I had to explain a second one...
Yeah, they'd be like, ooh, oh, you jack off to the Matrix.
Yeah. You think you are the Matrix.
First of all, Ben and I both know for a fact that you rarely have people over.
I've had enough people to make it all. I'm talking about my girlfriend.
Our other mutual friends.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend doing it every time she's in the house.
Genuinely, more than once.
Okay. Great. See, it's interesting.
And I keep telling her, like, you should use it. I think you'd find it fun. And she's like, oh, whatever. I'm not a robot.
But you could look like one, and that's what I want.
If you were a robot, you wouldn't need the helmet. It would just be.
I think she's afraid I'm going to, like, fuck with her while she's wearing it as well. I think she's afraid I'd get behind. I'd get on all fours behind her and hope wait till she trips over me.
Right. I've actually been inspired by your entertainment cabinet setup.
Oh yeah.
Because as you boys will have seen, I've gone for the. I've got like
it's an open plan.
It's open plan. Yeah. So it's just like I just kind of like the, you know, whatever, have it all on display. Mm. But you, Adam, have got the like the doors.
It's all locked away.
Yeah. Which I'm starting to come around to. Well, my, it's just mine, like it's embarrassing.
Well, and I like how it just looks nicer to have everything messy inside of drawers.
Yeah. Mm. Mine, I have drawers and I keep one of them open.
Yes.
Or doors, I should say.
Okay. Right. But you've got like neatly lined up DVD cases and shit.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Like, all of my drawers have shit.
Yeah, you know.
And like it's shit I'd use, but the only things that are out, like all the consoles are just on three little open things because you don't want to lock everything behind doors while it's on or else it'll overheat.
Yes.
But it all looks neat, but then all the mess, you just put a piece of wood in front of that shit.
See, I didn't really mind the open display. I kind of like
can't
like,
see
you
the
know,
forest got, for the tree.
Got the record player there, you know, got the consoles, that's fine. Got a couple of game boxes stacked up, but the VR helmet and the Ring Fit being side by side is really what pushed me over into being like, I gotta conceal this shit.
Gotta
it just
hide this.
Looks fucking it just looks dumb.
The cardboard Nintendo VR helmet is maybe the bit that really ties the whole room together.
Well, even that, to the untrained eye, it's like that could be anything.
Yeah, that's just trash.
Yeah, Bernie could have come in that. Well, I think that'll just about do us for this week.
Yeah,
we really are into the arse end of the year.
Yeah, we'll have we've got plans for So we always like record some episodes ahead of time so we get a break over Christmas and shit.
Yes,
and we'll do our game.
We don't stop releasing episodes. We're professionals.
No. Yeah. We have an episode come out every week.
Yes.
Now, early on, maybe let's give it
sure.
A weeks.
Yeah.
But now every episode a week.
Yeah.
But
game of the year coming up. Don't
know which dates all of these will be going up on.
No.
Probably whatever the three around Christmas and New Year are.
Yeah.
How do you figure?
Well, because it'll be one part will be the game of the year for this year.
And then we're going to do games of the decade.
Yes. And some other maybe decade-spanning category, trends, memories.
We'll probably have like a top 10 each or something.
Yeah.
And then like other things, other categories.
Yeah.
On the Patreon, maybe do film and music.
Well, excuse me.
It's music for cows.
You were about to say
film and movies. Of course I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually not bad. The top 10 films and then the top 10 movies.
So movies
you just do like popcorn, I like Fast and Furiouses, and then films you go and, you know, your Marty's,
You clearly don't listen to our friend Cam and Alexi's podcast because they literally do that.
Oh, really?
What about cinema? Do they have a top 10 cinema?
That's even above cinema films. Yeah.
That's a thing you can only watch in the cinema a lot.
Hey. That's not a bad category. I've already made.
You've got what's above cinema?
Drive-in
house. Yeah.
No. Plan. I've already made a top like 30 movies of the decade.
Right.
I've just been doing it over the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And if you guys want to do that, we can just go through mine. It's like. Yeah, just all of my favorite movies of the past 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know how many I have in there, but whatever it is.
What's worse, the drive-in or watching Netflix on your phone on the train?
Drive-in.
Is worse.
Netflix on phone on the train is fucking sick.
Drive-in's great because you're in your own car. No one's poking
their heads
in. I like
the drive-in. I'm not shitting on the drive-in.
You're really rating.
I am anti-shitting on watching movies on your phone.
Right.
If it's the right thing or like TV. Yeah.
I can't be having that at all.
It's good shit. Once you come around to it.
If you watch a movie on your phone, the movie stops being a film or cinema and it's just a movie.
It's more like TV shows are the phone domain.
Yes.
If you watch like a fucking episode of fucking Malcolm in the Middle on your phone, who's getting hurt?
Not me.
Yeah.
I guess there's something about if you're watching a video full screen on your phone, if it's anything other than the Ladd Bible, I think that's
a waste
that's
of time.
Taking the piss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking over someone's shoulder on the train, be like, that's not their ex's Instagram stories. What the fuck is happening over there? I've watched movies on my iPad on the train. How do you like that?
I wouldn't do that.
I'd do it on my phone. I'd do it fucking anywhere.
When I watch movies on a plane,
yep.
I feel like I haven't really watched them.
If I could watch a TV show on my watch...
Because I'm distracted by the window. I'm looking out the window the whole time.
At the gremlin on the wing.
Yes.
If they could get a fucking TV show going on that watch, I would do it.
If it was built for the watch.
Like a 4x3, like a Simpsons episode.
Weirdly enough, I would be into that.
Yeah.
Right.
So you've just got to get it smaller than the phone.
And it's themed around it being the time.
What?
What are you talking about?
So it's like
just a TV show where they're always like, oh, 8 p.m.
If it was, if it was a TV show about little guys who lived in a clock, oh, man.
No, but then it would
only
have so few episodes. You couldn't watch it every day on the train.
No, they're all bottle episodes. They're different themes. I'd love it.
Episode one. Midnight.
Episode two.
You could watch on
1 a.m.
You know what you could watch on. I mean, 24 would be right up your alley.
Yes. Yeah, right.
As time goes by.
Yeah. The Time Machine.
Yeah. Clocks. The Coldplay song. Watch a music video for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is good.
Watchmen.
Yep. Why does that fit?
All right, we better wrap it up. Yes. We've got our...
You don't want to ramble more about Patreon episodes we might do?
Yep. We've got our Let's Plays have started going up.
Yes.
Yep. So episode one is online now.
Episode two will be up. I think I scheduled it for Friday. So
oh, cool.
Tomorrow.
So we're playing through Until Dawn. We finished it. We did it all in over a couple of days. So they're going to slowly be trickling out. A lot of fun to do, so check that out. We've also got the Patreon where you can get an extra episode every week if you chip in a little money.
We're currently in the midst of Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. Yep. Celebrating the great Martin Scorsese. Mm-hmm. Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
Scorsese. You said it first. I'm just saying it again. Keep going.
That's why it's weird. you just said it
keep going.
We've also got the premium episodes up on the Bandcamp. The History of Rareware went up recently. That was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
I guess with the YouTube video, it's worth saying as well, like the audio is quiet for the first 10 minutes of the game and then it fixes.
Yes.
So watch at least 15 minutes.
Yep.
Much like Death Stranding, you've got to push through a bit, even if it's bothering you. But I think it's also fine.
You can also kind of hear it because we had the TV
up quite
so
loud. Yeah. But
one would think that because we recorded the audio on an audio recorder and then we recorded a line out from the TV.
Yes.
Now, one would assume because these things are happening at the same time.
The exact
under
same
the same
time.
Laws of time that apply to the greater planet of Earth,
yes,
that they would sync up perfectly.
You'd think so.
However,
the problem
for some
is,
reason,
well, no,
not
the
case.
It's because the fucking the program that records out of the Elgato thing that we have,
yes,
deliberately drops frames from time to time so that it isn't completely losing its shit because it can't quite keep up.
At
all times. So it's losing like maybe a frame every 3 seconds. But when you apply that to a 50-minute video, the imperceptible loss becomes perceptible over that amount of time.
Right.
So Ben has gone through and chopped up our audio.
Yes.
But then left the first 10 minutes of the audio from the game muted.
Yes. Because I was like, what if I turn it all the way down? This is what I must have done because I didn't realize.
Well, and it's the best way because I was fucking with it too to check between them. You're muted and unmuted and muted and unmuted.
Yeah,
and then
fucking
YouTube won't let you fix it if you put it. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. It's there and it's the first 10 minutes are literally us looking at the HDR menus and shit anyway.
And then go like, did we put subtitles on? Oh, we forgot to put subtitles on.
If you're bothered by the game audio not being there for the admin at the start, don't worry about it. You're not missing out on anything.
Whatever. Yeah. It's funny. They're good videos.
I've edited the second one and scheduled it and it is perfect. It was a little frustrating getting that first one right, but now we know how to do it.
Now we know the simple, the one easy trick that doctors hate me for telling people.
Yeah, it's carefully edit things every 3 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
We're
going to
fuck with
stuff.
Different software and shit. I've heard OBS works, though. Yeah. We'll get this trainer rolling. Probably.
Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au. Check out all that stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Death Stranding is officially a good game. According to this podcast, you can tell anyone that everyone here thinks it's a good game. Officially. End of podcast.
Fuck. Was the end of the podcast, I guess.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.